Let us pray. God of love, Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. With Jesus, we come to the water to be immersed in your grace. Receive us, wash us, and renew us. Baptize us, the Holy Spirit, and with fire, that we may flow with your grace all our days. In the name of Christ, amen. A reading from Isaiah. Now thus says the Holy One who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. You who are called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The Word of Life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. As the people were full of expectation and all were wondering in their hearts about John the baptizer, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to take the wheat into the granary, and the chaff to burn with unquenchable fire. And when all the people were baptized, and Jesus was baptized with them, he was praying, and the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. John baptized with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. That's not Christian baptism. We have this idea that baptism is about repentance. That was John's baptism. Scripture makes really clear that Christian baptism is different. Even John knew that there was something different coming. I baptize you with water. But one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Christ is the Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word, meaning God's anointed one, the one that God has anointed to carry out a special task. For a few hundred years before Jesus, the last couple hundred anyway, there had been this growing anticipation that there would be somebody that God would anoint who would come and reign over Israel, a king who would set them free from Roman oppression and reign over the country. And they were waiting for this Messiah, this conquering king. The second Psalm talks about God's king. And in that psalm, God says, today I have begotten you. You are my son. That's part of the quote that you hear in this voice that comes from heaven when Jesus was baptized. People were expecting a Messiah. But that quote from Psalm 2 doesn't include that second part. This is my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased, is actually two separate quotes. This is my son, the beloved, is from Psalm 2. With whom I am well pleased comes from one of the servant songs in Isaiah that was written a bit after that psalm was written. That's still 500 years before Jesus. But in that song, Isaiah talks about this servant of God who will carry out God's will and who will suffer greatly in doing it. Nobody had ever put those two ideas together, the suffering servant and the Messiah, till after Jesus died, and his followers were remembering how everybody kept saying, ooh, maybe he'll be the Messiah. But then when he got killed, they thought, no, obviously he wasn't the Messiah because he wasn't a conquering king. And his disciples, his followers, began to think, wait, maybe he was the Messiah, only the Messiah isn't a conquering king. Maybe the Messiah is somebody who carries out God's love. Jesus was the Messiah. He just wasn't a warrior. He was a lover. Oh, we were waiting for the wrong Messiah. So they realized that in fact Jesus was the Christ, and they put those two ideas together, the suffering servant and the Messiah. When Jesus is baptized with those words, those are the words that we hear when we are baptized, because we are baptized into Christ. When Jesus was alive, he was embodying the love of God. And then they killed him. But that wasn't the end. Jesus was reincarnated. We do believe in reincarnation. There was the first incarnation with Jesus, and then the next incarnation, but Jesus didn't come back as a person. Jesus came back as you. Jesus came back as a community. The body of the risen Christ wasn't a guy. It's the church. It's all of us. It's all of creation. It's everything that embodies the Word of God. When we're baptized into that body. We're given this blessing that you are my beloved, and we're also told, now then, because you're my beloved, you have some work to do. You have my will to carry out. Baptism is God's reminder that we are charged with embodying God's love every moment. Think about this. Jesus never took a break from being Christ. Sometimes he took a break from healing people. Sometimes he went off into the desert to pray. But he didn't take a break from being Jesus. He didn't quit doing that. There were times when it was hard for him to know exactly what to do. Remember when the woman said, heal my daughter, and he said, no, I don't do you foreigners. He insulted her. And she came back at him, and he changed his mind. He didn't always know exactly the right thing to do either, but he was always radically open to figuring it out, because he knew that even when he was off in a place where he wanted to take a break, he didn't want anybody to know he was there, this woman came to him and he thought, I can't take a break. I still have to embody God's love every moment of my life. Your baptism means that it's your job to embody God's love every second of your life. You don't get a break. Oh, that seems like a lot of work. Except for this. You don't have to invent that love. God gives it to you. You don't have to be somebody that you're not. You just have to be who you actually are. You just have to be part of the body of Christ. Scripture says that the church is the body and Christ is the head of the body. You know, when somebody does something outlandish, sometimes we'll say, wow, the nerve. You know, sometimes somebody does something that takes some guts and we say, wow, they had a lot of nerve to do that. Or sometimes we'll say, I don't have the nerve to do something like that. What do we mean by the nerve? Usually we mean the guts, you know, the courage, the sometimes even arrogance, the what it takes, the chutzpah to do this thing. But I think about that word nerve. If my brain wants to raise my hand, it thinks, hand, raise, and my hand doesn't just magically do it. There's a nerve that connects my brain to the muscles in my arm, and those nerves say, hey, muscles, raise, and that's what raises my arm. And if you severed that nerve, it wouldn't matter how many muscles I had, they wouldn't move. When you have a stroke, there's nothing wrong with your muscles. It's the nervous system, it's the connection between your brain and your muscles that stops working. If we're part of the body of Christ, then God is the brain and we're the muscles. And the Holy Spirit is the nerve that connects the brain with the muscles. So when Ken is playing the piano or the organ, you want his fingers to do what his brain wants them to do. You don't want them to be off doing what they want to do. We all know what that's like when you've been outside and your hands are really cold and you have to zip up your jacket and your hands are too cold to zip up your jacket. You have to say to your fingers, I don't care how cold you are, you still have to zip up my jacket or I'm going to freeze to death. Do it, and you figure out a way to zip up your jacket. Baptism is God's way of saying to us, I don't care what you want. I have some stuff I need you to do. Want that instead. Want to love. Want to forgive. Want to live with humility and courage and do justice. And it's that nerve, that Holy Spirit that enables us to do what God wants us to do. All the time. The temptation is to sometimes be part of the body of Christ and sometimes to just be off on our own. I have my own agenda. When I get in an argument with somebody, I'm not being the body of Christ. I'm just trying to defend myself. I'm trying to win. And my baptism reminds me that my job is not to win. It's to love. It's to be part of the body of Christ every moment. Now that might seem hard. And it is hard. I mean, we never know the will of God. And it takes constant practice to be listening, to be open, to be waiting for that nerve, that message for what God wants us to do. That's why we pray. That's why we read Scripture, so that we practice being open and listening, continually asking, God, what do you want me to do? Now, sometimes it's pretty obvious that God wants us to forgive instead of resenting. That God wants us to serve instead of being selfish. Sometimes it's not so clear. There's door number one and door number two, and they both seem pretty good, and we're not quite sure. If you love somebody and they're having a hard time, sometimes you know what this is like, especially with kids. You love them, but you don't know what to do. You don't know the right way to love them perfectly. Sometimes it's hard to know what God really wants us to do. But along with this charge that comes with baptism that says, you're my servant, you have work to do, I need for you to live out my love, there's also this promise. God says, you are my child. You are my beloved. I love you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through fire, you won't be burned. I will be there with you because I love you. And when we're baptized into our belovedness. And when we remember our baptism, we remember that we're God's beloved. And when we remember that we are God's beloved, when we really believe that, and we really believe that other people are God's beloved, then we act like that. You really believe that you are God's beloved? Then you act with humility and compassion and generosity, love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all of those things that are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because that's the nerve that we have. That's what tells us what to do and who to be. It's our belovedness. We can't always know the will of God, but if we remember our baptism, remember that we are baptized into our belovedness and that everybody else is also God's beloved. At least if we remember that, we can't know entirely the will of God, but we can come pretty close. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your infinite love and pray that you will help us remember that we are your beloved, to live like your beloved for the sake of all people and all creation who are also your beloved. God, we thank you for your love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.